Thank you for listening to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now here's this week's message.
Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 67 this morning, it says, "Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, 'Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. He spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our fathers Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercies of God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.'" Heavenly Father, Lord, this morning we thank you and we praise you. Lord, we thank you again for your presence here throughout this service, Lord. And Father, when it comes to this time of breaking open the bread or breaking open the bread of life, we pray, Lord, today that you'll stir our hearts, Lord, that we'll find encouragement in your word, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, if we keep the scripture in content this morning, it has been at least 9 months. I mean, this is almost a Christmas message, but it's not. It has been at least 9 months since Zacharias had been able to speak. Could you imagine going 9 months without being able to say a word? He could hear, but he couldn't speak. And it's all because he doubted the words of Gabriel, the angel. What if we was to get to where we couldn't talk if we doubted what God had to say into our lives? Wouldn't that be amazing? And then finally, at the birth of his new boy, they asked him what they should call him, for the father would put the name upon the kid. And he said, "Give me a tablet." He wrote down on the tablet his name was to be called John. And that's what Gabriel had told him 9 months previous to that. And immediately the Bible says he was able to speak. And when he was able to speak, the first thing that he did was start to praise God. Start giving God praise. And then he began to prophesy things about his son and also things about the Messiah. He started to prophesy things that would come to pass in both of their lives, in what their identity, who they would be, and also their mission. Do you believe this morning that every individual in this house this morning that has been born again, washed by the blood of the Lamb, has a mission for Christ? I believe we all have a mission to do something for our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I believe now my identity is in the family of God. Amen? Well, I am no longer who I was that was born, but now I am a child of the living God. And I thank the Lord for that this morning. In verse 78, we read this: "Through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us." The New King James capitalizes that day spring. The word day spring, when we look at it, means to dawn. If kept in content, it actually means the Messiah. And it talks about Jesus himself. In Luke 7 or 178, the New Living Translation puts it like this: "Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break up on us." The New Living says, "Because of God's mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us." Now keep it in content of what it's talking about. It's talking about Jesus himself is about to break upon them. Revelation 22:16, we find it says this, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David. I am the bright and morning star. Talking about our King and our Lord, the bright and morning star. If you look at that bright and morning star, it actually talks about it gives you light, seeing the new daylight that's fixing to begin. The new day that's fixing to take place. So basically, the birth of Christ was the dawning of a new day. A dawning of the new day. And the things of how everything had been handled thus far for man to come into relationship with God was fixing to change, because on that dawning of that new day, Jesus was arriving. He is the day spring. Things were changing. Things had been the way they were for 4,000 years, and God had implemented different things throughout those years. But on this day, the day spring is coming. Things are changing when Jesus arrives upon the scene. So we find that at that moment, we find things are fixing to change. Let me read from the pulpit commentary. I normally don't do this, but I love the way it described it. It says, the beautiful imagery here is derived from the magnificence of an Eastern sunrise. In his temple service at Jerusalem, the priest must have seen the glowing dawn rise majestically over the dark chain of the distant mountains and lighting up with a blaze of golden glory the everlasting hills as they stood around about Jerusalem. The thought which pictured the event of the Messiah as the sunrise was a favorite one with the prophets. We see it in such prophecies of Isaiah and Malachi. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, Gentiles shall see or come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. So we find it's not a new thing that was implemented in here in Luke chapter 1, calling Jesus the day spring or the morning star or a new day beginning. The prophets loved to talk about when the Messiah came, there would be the evidence that things were fixing to change. It was something that they used quite often. Friends, I can tell you this morning, we are seeing the dawning of a new day on the horizon. Let me say it again. I can tell you this morning that we are seeing the dawning of a new day on the horizon, whether we like it or not. It is seeing that we are seeing a new day come forth. And it all has to do with this person, this one that we call Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. I'm saying just as he dawned that day through the birth of the Virgin Mary, he's going to dawn the day here pretty soon once again. And we're going to see some amazing things take place. In this passage this morning, I will share with you a few things that parallel the times that we're living in. The first thing I want to tell you, Christ is on his way. Christ is on his way. That's something we need to wrap our head around and understand, that he is on the way. See, true prophecy has called it to be. True prophecy is called it to be. I'm talking, do you know what true prophecy is? True prophecy is when it comes from God. When it comes down from heaven and it flows through the mouth of man, or maybe it flew through from the unction of the Holy Spirit, it's written on a page, but true prophecy comes from God. I'm not talking about this junk that's going around today or this stuff that says, hey, whatever comes into your mind, speak it into somebody's life. Can I tell you, you can do a lot of damage doing that to somebody. I'm talking, it's not about the first thought that happens. Oh, that's got to be from God. I'm going to tell you, the first thought, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's not from God. True prophecy comes down from above and it flows through mankind, whether it's in the pen or through the mouth. That's true prophecy from God. And when we know that Christ is on his way, true prophecy is called it to be. In other words, it's called it to be because it has been written and it has came down from man or from God. It's going to happen. Jesus' birth was certain because it had been called for by the words of the living God. It started a long time ago. Which the words of God are true prophecy, and they are certain. Come on, church, it's time that we stand on the fact that what God has said is certain. It will happen. Hallelujah. Come on, now you need to shout a little bit this morning, because I'm telling you, that's something exciting to think about. The Bible foretold the birth of Christ. You hear it during the Christmas time and all that. Isaiah 7:14, we find these words, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. We find in Micah chapter 5, 2 through 5, scripture tells us the birth of Christ would be in Bethlehem. Not only is he coming, but he said where he would come. In Isaiah 9:6, Isaiah prophesies that Jesus will come as a baby, and in that passage gives him many different names, counselor and many things. We know the Bible has not been silent about Jesus coming. You know who was reading those scriptures? The Jew was reading them. They were looking and they knew the Messiah was on the way. Why? Because holy prophecy came from above and ordered it to be. Ordered it to happen. You know, I hear these preachers saying, just say whatever you want and it'll come to pass. I disagree with that preaching. Amen. What I need to say, if I'm going to call it the Word of God, it must come from God. Must come from the Lord. True prophecy had called Jesus to come. And Jesus would come. Can I tell you this morning that true prophecy has called Jesus to come a second time? Just as much as what we read and we say, look how many boxes Christmas checked off. Look, this one in Isaiah and this one over in Micah. And I'm going to tell you today, just as much as they checked those scriptures off as prophecies from God, there's coming a day when we're going to check off every prophecy about Jesus coming the second time. Why? Because God has said Jesus is coming. He's coming. Hallelujah. Acts 1:11. The angel looked at the guys at Galilee and says, men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you in heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him leave. Can you imagine that? They see him going up and the angel says, he's going to come back just like that. I mean, that's a prophetic word from God. We find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're all familiar, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. What is that? That's a prophetic word from God. That's just not a book that's been written, but it's saying Jesus is going to descend with a shout. How many are ready to hear him shout? Hallelujah! Because the Bible says he's going to do it. It's a prophetic word. Not from man, but from God. Matthew 24:27 talks about the second advent. And listen to this. It says, for as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, also will the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it saying? Jesus is coming back soon. Hallelujah. And they will all see him. If you dive into it, even those that pierced him in the side will see him coming in that second coming. What am I saying today? I'm saying today that it has been spoken by God. It will take place and it will happen. Amen. Because it's prophetic word. It's not something some denomination has made up, but it's something that God has spoke. There are many more scriptures, yet time does not allow me to share them this morning. But I'm saying just as Zacharias knew Jesus was coming, we also know that he's coming. Time is short. At the time of Zacharias' prophecy that we read this morning in the book of Luke, Jesus was about 6 months out. 6 months out. Him and Zachariah, or Jesus and John were cousins. And it'll be about 6 months before Jesus is born. And that's a short time. How many know that when you're going through that? Well, for the guys, it's a long time. That 9 months. No, did I say that wrong? Okay. For the women, it's a long time. But I'm saying today, 6 months is not long. I'm just thinking, here we are already in April in 2024. It passes fast. The time is short. But here's the thing, there's no turning back. He was on his way. Jesus was on his way. He was born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit, and God's plan was on its way. Jesus was headed that direction. And he was expected to arrive. And sure enough, at God's appointed time that Zechariah was talking about, at God's appointed time, Jesus came into this earth incarnated, came through that birthing canal, and there he was, the Son of the living God, as what had been prophesied about Jesus Christ. At God's timing, exactly what God said would happen took place. Some say it's December the 25th, and I get people bent out of shape over that. Let me tell you, it wasn't December the 25th. And just get over it, okay? I mean, I like Christmas time as a good time to celebrate our Savior. Amen. I go to birthday parties in this church of kids that we celebrate their birthday on a different day than what they were born. And they still are happy. Right? So we just need to get over those things that people try to pick on during Christmas time and love Jesus and share the message. Listen, the thought of Christ coming back again is not man's. It's not a denomination. The thought of him coming back has been conceived by God in his plan for man. The conception's not in man's heart. It was conceived in heaven with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God, who we call that Trinity, has conceived the ideal and said that ideal will come to pass because it's my plan for man that Jesus comes back and sets up his kingdom. Amen. It's God's plan. Listen, no army in this world can keep him from coming. No amount of money nor power can keep him from coming. We don't know how long, but we see the birth pains around us that there's about to be a delivery. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. I'll never forget when my wife went into labor. I thought, we're about to have a baby. The water broke. We're 28 miles out. I'm thinking, not quite yet, Lord. But I'm saying today we are seeing things of God's plan that Jesus is coming. See, I believe the fig tree has sprouted the leaves. And Jesus said, when you see the fig tree, that generation will not pass away before the Lord comes. And that has created a lot of theory. But I'm going to tell you, God has not messed up his plan. When we get to heaven, we're going to go, oh, now I get it. Now I get it, Lord. I have a theory, but I haven't got time to share it with you this morning. I'm just saying we're at that moment. Jesus is coming. Just as sure as he came on that Christmas day, he's coming back for the second time. He's coming, church. For him to come, the timing needs to be right. For Mary to deliver Christ, the timing had to be right for him to come into this world in a healthy child. Listen, the world stage was set for his coming. When Jesus came, the world stage was set for his coming. The world then, listen to this. Israel was set to reject him. Because he did not meet their expectations that they wanted for a king. They were set up to reject him, thus fulfilling the scriptures that had been spoken over him. John 1:11 says he came to his own and his own did not receive him. And we know the timing. God wasn't off on his timing. His timing was thus saith the Lord. And the situation on earth and the situation with the Jewish people was set that they would reject Jesus Christ. Why? Because of prophetic scripture. See, John chapter 1 verse 11 also references to Isaiah 53 and says his own rejected him. Listen to the timing. See, you and I, we want to redirect God's calendar. We want to make it our calendar for him, but he does not redirect our calendar or use our calendar for his stuff. The situation there at the world when Jesus came was like it needed to be. See, with this rejection, it opened a door to another scripture that had been spoken of. It opened the door for the Gentiles to be saved. Amen. And Angela, God, we all, without the rejection of Jesus from Israel, the door would not be open for us to come into relationship with Christ. Because if you're not a Jew, you are a Gentile. God doesn't see color of skin. Hallelujah. He sees Jew and he sees Gentile. And with them rejecting, Romans 5, 15, 12 says that, or 15, 12 says, and again I say it says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him the Gentiles shall have hope. Matthew 4, 16, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon them who sat in the region of shadow of death and light, a light has dawned. Listen to what that says. A light has dawned. God goes according to his word. In the time that Jesus came, Israel was going to reject him because they were looking for a king to come on a white stallion. Instead, he rode on a donkey. And they were looking for somebody to get them out of the oppression of the Roman Empire. Instead, the Romans put him up on a cross. Listen, it was set for that rejection, but at that very moment they rejected, the door was open also for you and me to be saved. Thank God that he stays to his word. The world was ready for God's word to be fulfilled. And ever since then, he has been received and rejected by some of both the Jews and the Gentiles. Ever since then, if you don't like a Jewish person, I got news for you. You hate the first church because they were all Jewish. Come on, they're our brothers when they get saved. I want to look at the world today just for a few moments. The world was ready for the coming. The setting, the scene was right for Christ to come when he came to Bethlehem. How about today? One must only read scripture to see that his coming is nigh. That it's going to be soon. One must only read what the Bible says about these times that we're living in. It says the evilness of man. It talks about in 2 Timothy, the third chapter. It talks about man and what man will be. He's a lover of himself and all kinds of things. He could care less about his neighbor. I'm telling you today, Rob and I, we've been watching, she watches it more than I watch it, but it's over the crime show or something on channel 14, 15. It amazes me what people do to one another. It amazes me the evilness, just what we've seen in the Texas County and in Oklahoma the other day, where someone walks up and just shoots two women, kills them. One of them's a preacher's wife. Amazes me the crime and the things that we're seeing that people are doing on that scene. It's nothing to kill somebody and chop them up in 80 different pieces and put them in a trash bag and throw them away as garbage. I'm not trying to make you disgusted this morning, but I'm saying we need to wake up to the evilness that's happening in this world. Well, I watched one story where they killed this lady. It was a daughter-in-law, and they threw her down in the septic tank. If I was dead, I would rise up immediately. I'm just saying some of the things that are happening today in this world is unbelievable that mankind is doing to one another. Did you know the Bible says as the days of Noah is how man will be? And so we look at the things that are happening today, the evilness of mankind at this moment that we're living in. And let me say this, the stupidity of man. It never blows me away to hear what people are saying. And I go, really? You know, male and female, how hard is that? How difficult is that? And yet we have confusion in the United States of America. We're supposed to be a brilliant country, but we can't tell the difference between a woman and a man. You say, Pastor, you shouldn't say that. I'm going to say it. I'm going to, and if the young people think, hey, if it's one of these things that they say, well, the older folks, they just don't get it. I'm going to tell you right now, if you can't tell the difference between a man and a woman, the older folks are a lot smarter than you are. Because, see, there's no such things as all these things that they're putting out there. That's straight from hell. Another thing we find is lukewarmness of Christians. Lukewarmness of Christians. We want to go to heaven, but we don't want to be part of the kingdom. We don't want to sacrifice our life. We don't want to hear the scripture that says, deny thyself, and you shall live. The lukewarmness that we find across America today, across Christian churches where pews are empty and chairs are empty, and because something else is more important on Sunday than it is to be in the house of God. Breaks my heart. The lukewarmness of the church and the powerless church that we see today. I love praise and worship and all that, but let me tell you something. If it's nothing but a concert, there's no power in it, there's no moving of the Holy Spirit in it, and there's nothing that's going to heal you or bring you out of darkness. The powerlessness of the church today is that we say we got thousands, but yet we can't cast out one weak little demon. That is some of the things, the world that we're living in today. The things that we see in this world. How about our government today? It's no longer for the people, nor is it what we see on the surface. I believe with all my heart, well, part of my heart, that there's some other government running this country today. I believe there's an underground. And it's, I don't normally say things like that because I believe sometimes you need to have firsthand knowledge, but I'm telling you things that are happening in this country says something is messed up in it. Amen. The country that we live in is no longer honoring God. There's no doubt about that. When we try to take God out of everything and take the Bible out of everything. We have that, what we call the one world order, is on the horizon, my friend, and you may deny it, but it is on the horizon whether we like it or not. And technology is so easy for that to happen. How many read about Muleshoe's water tower last week? Russians hacked into the Muleshoe water system and they caused the water tower to overflow. They had to take it offline, put it on manually to where it would not mess up again. Why Muleshoe? I have no idea, but they tried three other little communities to hack in and see what they could do. That, to me, my friend, says things are different than we ever thought they would be. I'm saying today that things are setting up. Things are setting up. The horizon says there will be a one world order. And we don't like to hear those things, but our technology and the things that we see today will usher that in. Artificial intelligence is not by accident. It is something that is real, my friend. It's more than that little robot I got in my house that still hasn't figured out where how to put my socks up and all that stuff. We need a better robot. I'm saying we need to open our eyes up this morning and look at the world that we're living in, my friend, because if we don't open our eyes up and look at the world, then we're not going to make it. We're not going to understand that Jesus is on the horizon. One world order, and I believe it's going to be brought in by a failed economy. David Wilkerson, founder of Teen Challenge, now has went on to be with Jesus, but he was a man of God. They said if you ever got a phone call from David Wilkerson, you didn't want to answer it because God had told something about you to him. Many preachers will say that joke, and they wouldn't answer the phone. But he had written many books, and one of them is The Vision. He wrote it in 1973, and some of the things he said about this times that we're living in, that there'll be bankruptcies of major companies. Gold will not provide security, he says, but gold will just increase unbelievably, and the price of gold will just be unbelievable. And my friend, right now, I don't know if you've checked on the gold market, but it is high. Gold is high. He proclaimed this in 73. He said, there'll be more riots. And if you understand the 60s and all that, there was riots taking place, and we thought we'd got past them. But he said, there'll be more riots as Jesus gets closer. I've never thought we'd have riots on our street again, but we got people now that are laying down in interstates protesting about two different states, Israel and Palestine. I'm thinking, I don't understand our country today, but he's seen riots upon the streets once again in America. And my friend, we are headed that way unless something happens. These are the times that we're living in, and it does us no good to put our head in the sand, because this is what's happening. He spoke of auto industry. The auto industry and recreational vehicle industries will be hurt bad. Let me tell you something. I can't believe the price of cars nowadays. Oh my word, I am not going to give you $90,000 for a GMC Tahoe. And there's a couple of reasons. I haven't got $90,000. And if I had $90,000, I'm not going to give it to you for something that's going to be worth $1,500 in 5 years. But who can afford the automobiles today? If you're driving a new one, praise God, you give me hope. But I'm saying it's ridiculous. Most people will not be able to buy those automobiles, and they will hurt.
They're hurting now.
And they're hurting now. Recreational vehicles. That even includes your little ATVs and your trailers and your mobile homes, your motor homes. I'm going to tell you, the price of them are unbelievable. I would not give you $60,000 to $100,000 for a trailer I pull behind my pickup. Y'all know me, I'm tight. If I can get it for a dime, I'll buy it. But I'm saying today, somewhere in there, when prices get so high that the average American cannot pay it, it will stress who the automobile and the recreational vehicles. This is happening now. And he wrote the book in 1973. And it's not just a few of those things. There's a lot of things that he mentioned that have taken place already in these days that we're living in. The Bible speaks of this. Wars and rumors of wars in the Middle East. We're seeing it right now. Israel has been surrounded by its enemies. And sometimes, have you figured out in life you don't really know who your enemy is? I think Israel's starting to realize that they have an enemy right now, and that enemy is called the United States of America. And how sad is that, that we don't stand for God's apple of His eye? We are in the mix of this enemy, funding billions of dollars to Iran out of our $34 trillion of debt. I can't even imagine $34 trillion of debt. But I know this much. When my checkbook is on zero, I can't write you a check for a billion. How do we put billions over in these other countries when we are in trillions of dollars of debt? But even at that trillion, those billions, we're giving billions to Iran, which gives the money to Hamas, and then Hamas bombs Israel. Can I tell you this morning, our hands are not clean of what happened on October 7th. You know what that brings to this country? Guess it, judgment. I'm just saying, we're living in a world that just messed up. But can I tell you this morning, this world has to be messed up in order for the Antichrist to arrive on the scene and bring peace. We may not like it, but it has to be messed up in order for the Antichrist to arrive on the scene and make a peace covenant relationship with Israel. But I got good news for you, though. Throughout this whole mess that we're living in, God said, I will pour my spirit out upon my people. Amen. He will still be there to protect and be with us. He will pour His Spirit upon us. Although this thing's happening, it's got to be that way. Do I like it? No. But I'm going to tell you, God has got a plan. God has got a plan, and His people are going to be in that plan, and He'll take care of His own. Now, I've said a lot of stuff in this section of the sermon that I normally wouldn't say. But I think that we need to wake up a little bit of what's happening in this world and what's happening in our own country and realize we may not like it, but something's going to say this, is that I see there's a new day breaking. There's a new morning coming. And sometimes we don't like the circumstances that ushers in Jesus, but I'm going to tell you, this world's going to be a mess when He comes. And it's going to be a mess when the rapture takes place, because it's got to be a mess. If you study your scripture, if you look into Revelation, if you know anything about prophecy, you'll understand that the Antichrist is going to make a peace treaty with Israel. There's got to be something that's going to bring peace in. And so this world is a mess right now. I don't know if it's going to get better. I am not a prophet. I'm just a pastor at 400 North Georgia, the best place in the world. But I know this, things have got to be a mess. And we're in it right now. Our kids don't have the privilege of being raised like in the environment that we got to be raised in. One other thing I want to share. So what are we to do in this time that we're in? Do we go buy gold? Wilkerson's book says gold ain't gonna buy you, will not buy you anything when all this takes place. There's people who got thousands within millions of dollars worth of gold will be worthless. I don't have to worry about it. But I'm saying today, what are we to do? We are to share Christ. We are to share Christ. This is what John's number one purpose was, if we read in that passage of Scripture. For it says, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare His way." He is to share Christ. And John, we find, did that well. We find that he preached to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all those, and he preached like God would have him to preach. He didn't water down the truth. One time he called them a bunch of vipers. I'm going to tell you, he wouldn't get a big audience today, but John preached the Word of God. It's not about following. It's about doing what God has called us to do. It's about what God has commissioned us to do. And John did what God had commissioned him to do. He ushered in Jesus Christ. He had many disciples of who? Not himself, but of the message of repentance, which the message led to Jesus. And he gave his life for the cause of Christ. Can I tell you this morning, this should be the number one also thing to share Christ, is the number one to the Christian, is that we share Jesus Christ. Matthew 5, 14 and 16 says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light," listen to that, it says, "let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." That is our duty, my friend. I could have used Matthew 28. There's several different scriptures that say it's our duty. What? To usher in Jesus by preaching the Word of God. Our duty. Listen, I know we're living in difficult times. I get it. I see the three little things in my grocery cart or what Robin buys. And I think, that's all 80 bucks will buy. Budgets are being blown day in and day out. I get the inflation. I get that we're living in bad times. I see the bad things that are happening. I see what mankind is doing. But at the same time, my friend, we've got a thing to do. We've got a work to do. I appreciated the messages in this last week's revival by our friend Doug on sharing Jesus. He had a couple of messages about sharing our faith. And I guess that's one of the things I long for in my life as a pastor, is opportunities to share Jesus. See, my friend, this is not a time to be timid. I get it. There's many that are sitting and they're hoarding everything they can so they can survive if all this comes down. My friend, I got another plan. I'm ready for Jesus to take me out of here. I understand it. David Wilkerson says in the book, gold won't be anything, but people will rush to the rural areas in order to buy land. Why? Because land can produce food. But I understand all that thing, all this. But it's not a time to be timid. See, it's a time that we should look and honestly see. If we have the lights, you and I as Christians have the spiritual insight. We have the Word of God that is spoken to our spirit and into our life. And if we're knowing that Jesus is coming, what should we speak to our children? What should we speak to our friends? Should we not warn them that Christ is coming soon? That there's a new day on the horizon and things are going to change? Should we not warn them a little bit and tell them? You say, well, they'll get offended with me. Who cares? You haven't cared about some other things you've said to them. The key is Jesus. See, Doug said one thing that I loved. He says, we're not filled with the Holy Spirit to be timid. And I think that the Pentecostal folks have forgotten that. We boast about we speak in tongues. We boast a lot about a lot of things. But where is our witness in 2024? You go back to some of the older saints and you know, you can harp on the music, all that you want to, but I got something, I'm going to tell you something about the older saints. They got filled with the Holy Ghost and they went out to win a community. People like Brother Burkhalter went into this 400 North Georgia, drove a stake in the ground, said, we're going to build a church right here. There were churches throughout the panhandle of Texas. Why? Because somebody got filled with the Holy Spirit and they went planting churches. We're living in a time that we need that power again. We need to quit being timid. We need to just say, hey, I'm going to take a chance at this and tell somebody about Jesus. Would you pray that God gives you somebody to share the gospel with? Listen to this. I'm about done. Luke 12, 35, 40. I don't know what time I started, so I don't know what time to finish. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. And yourselves be like men who wait for the master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those who serve, those servants whom from the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them set down to eat and will come and serve. If he should come in the second watch or the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would have come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at the hour you do not expect. That says to me that we need to be caught doing what God has called us to do. Amen. We need to be caught doing what God has called us to do. I'm going to tell you, my parents would go away and sometimes we weren't very good kids. But if we found out they were coming, we had that house cleaned up, but I still couldn't fool my mom. She said, who glued this back together? Remember that? But we were expecting her to come. That's why the house was clean and we were gluing pieces back together and all this stuff. Why? Because we knew the master of the house was coming. And it's the same thing for you and I. The master is coming. Long time ago, I used to haul oil in big 55-gallon drums, and I had a customer in Buffalo, Oklahoma. I'd get up, I'd put about 5 barrels in the back of my pickup, and I'd leave town 5:30 in the morning, and I would go through Waukesha, I'd go through Farnsworth. I'd go through Perryton. I'd go through Booker, Darzette, and Follett. But when I'd round that curve toward Booker in that area, the sun would just be about ready to come up, and I could see just a little glimmer of the sunlight peeking in. And I would many times just break out and speaking in tongues and praising my God, because in that he would reveal to me, as this you see is the same as the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you will see that the hint of the sun is coming. I'm saying today that we're seeing a hint that the sun is on the horizon. The sun is arising up and Jesus is coming soon. And we're going to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because he is coming. A bright and morning star is on his way. Hallelujah. Oh, praise be unto God this morning. That day, I see it. Hallelujah. I see it. See, there's a new day dawning. And are you ready for it this morning? I said, are you ready for it this morning? Hallelujah. Luke 21, 28 says, now when these things begin, Pastor, if you'll come, to happen, look up, lift up your heads, because your salvation, hallelujah, draweth nigh. That tells me I don't need to have my head down. I'm thinking, oh, hallelujah. Lord, I see the wars in the Middle East. I'm looking for you. Hallelujah. I see the condition of man. Hallelujah. I'm looking. I'm going to face east. If you don't know where east is, I believe it's that direction. I'm going to face it and look for that moment. The Bible says it's going to happen so quick. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says it in a twinkle of an eye. That's even quicker than you can wink. Jesus is going to come. It's not a time to grow cold, my friend. It's not a time to say, hey, I'll just skip church or go. It's a time to get in church all that you can get. It's a time to get in your word all you can get. It's a time to become a prayer warrior and a soul winner. It's a time, if you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, that we can do all that we can for the kingdom of God, because Jesus is coming. What do you do about the government? I pray for the government. The Bible says pray for the government. But my mission is to win people. My mission is to make disciples. And that's the church's mission. And sometimes we just need to accept it. The world's going to be a mess. But we don't have to be a mess. We don't have to run around like a chicken with its head cut off, like we don't have any direction and don't know where we're going. Because I know where I'm going. How about you? I know. I know what we're seeing. It's just as clear as I could see on that road to Booker and Follett and Darzette as that sun would start to come. Our Lord's coming. Amen. Oh, man. Hallelujah.